You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Woodman Corner, the Western McAlbion podcast that remains firmly unbeaten. I'm Graham Brown, and I'm here today with Joe Chapman.
Hello, Graham. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And Kieran Doody.
Hiya, Graham.
And just to say that if we sound a bit weird this week, this is our first try of doing it over the phone, as we couldn't manage to all get together. So hopefully we're still coming across loud and clear. And I would particularly hope so, because we've got a special Woodman Corner podcast. So I've been giving this a lot of thought. We're going to put together our Fantasy 11, so that being... an 11 of the cult heroes from the Albion since the turn of the century, kind of a blend of the players that we've most liked to support and the players that sort of en masse seem to have become firm fan favourites. So, gents, you've been giving this some thought. What's been going through your mind?
Well, I managed to whittle it down to about 35 names, which... seems like a hell of a lot, and I've got them all written down in front of me, and even now I'm still fretting about whether I include the right people or not. Managed to get them down to 11. I have made it a 3-5-2 and kind of ended up overloading on midfielders, because we discovered when we were kind of talking about this in the week that midfielders was the particularly difficult place to kind of make selections. There were that many candidates that were viable for positions in this team that have kind of played there in the last 15, 18 years. And it was very, very difficult. One of the trickier tasks we've had on this podcast, I would say.
Yeah, I found exactly the same. Well, we'll argue it out when we get there. Anyway, in fact, I'm making a last-minute change to my team now, which will come to pass soon. All right, great. Well, before we get into that, there's also going to be, of course, a Play Your West Bromwich Albion card, right? Which I think... it caused a lot of buzz on social media again. There were two tweets last time, both of which were from me. So, lots of excitement. Okay. Before we do, I'd say that our sort of the games that have come to pass so far, it's going sort of all right. We've managed to win a home game. We remain unbeaten. But there's a lot of sort of question marks that remain about the Albion. So I'm going to fire some questions at you. And I'm going to start with you, Kieran, who has no knowledge that I'm going to do this. I'm just going to name two Albion players, and you tell me which is the better one.
Okay.
I'll start with you. Fond or Johnston?
Sam Johnston all day long for me. I don't even think it's a debate. I'm not sure where it's come from. I don't know about you.
Well, how do you characterise his performance? Because, I mean, he comes in for a lot of stick. He doesn't get a lot of clean sheets either. Why are you so comfortable with him?
Well, you know, he's obviously not the finished article yet, but I would argue he's one of the best in the Championship still. I think the clean sheet argument, it's not just the keeper. There's a bit of a confusion at the minute between man marking, zoner marking, you know. They're still working on how to shore things up at the back. I mean, sometimes, you know, he's a little bit flat-footed, but I think as a fan base, I think Albion fans are still kind of spoilt by how long we had Ben Foster for, and they're expecting someone to be of his standard, where we're not going to get that. I think we just need to... I mean, there's no way Jonathan Bond is in the same, should be starting ahead of Johnston. I think he's being unfairly criticised.
No, look, I would go with that. So, Joe, you get a slightly more complicated one. You've got to choose two from three. I'll give you three names, and you have to give me our two starting players. Kyle Bartley, Semi Ajayi, Ahmed Hegazi. Who's the two?
Well, my opinion of this has actually changed slightly since the start of the season, because... upon learning that Hegazi was going to miss the start of the season and Ajayi was going to come in, and of course there was a suggestion that Ajayi can play midfield, and I just thought an addition at 1.5 million, he was going to be a bit of a kind of a backup, and that Hegazi would kind of come back in. whenever he was fit, end of September, whenever, and rejoin Bartley in defence, who he played quite well alongside at the back end of last season. Actually, no. Well, yeah, and now, having seen six games, half a dozen games, I'm starting to think now that actually it's going to be Agassi and Ajayi going forward, because Ajayi's been playing out of his skin. I mean, Bartley's made a few mistakes. Generally, he's been okay. He's not been, you know, it's not been like it's been mistake after mistake. Blackburn was a particularly poor game for him. But Ajayi is actually, he's just put a serious case forward to Slavovich, I think, now. And,
I think it's been interesting, hasn't it? I mean, I think Ajayi took a couple of games. So if I'd have asked this three games in, I'd have been advocating Bartley. I honestly don't know. Now, so my view on this is that I think if Albion are going to have a good, and they haven't, I mean, I personally, they still haven't kept a clean sheet. So I don't know. Yeah. I think I'd probably contest the idea that they've done so much that they can't be dropped, kind of thing. But yeah. My hope is that I think Bartley's playing at the top of his game at the moment. He's sort of doing okay. I'd like to think that Jay's kind of got more. But, you know, if we're going to have an actual, you know, very good centre back pairing, I kind of hope it's Ajayi, because it means that he's got more to offer, if you know what I mean. But you kind of want that pair, you know, the kind of Terry and Ferdinand sort of thing, but the one who wins the header and the one who cleans up behind. And actually, I don't think Bartley or Agassi are the ones who clean up behind. So I actually think there's a nicer synergy with whoever it is in Ajayi. However, he's got to prove it. I think he's had a better last three games than he had the first three games. But I guess we'll see how that pans out. Anyway, the next question is a really tough one. And it's going to you, Kieran Doody. Nathan Ferguson or Darnell Furlong?
Oh. So you automatically go for Nathan Ferguson just because, you know, he's gone through the academy and you want him to do well. But yeah, they're both playing really well at the minute, aren't they? I mean, none of them are... They're not wasting their opportunities. I think initially you'd want to start with Ferguson, but at the same time you don't want to give him too much too soon. It's a lot to ask for him to be starting every week. But I think he'd get the nod at the minute just because of how good he's been when he has played. And it gives the whole club a lift, doesn't it, when you see an academy product doing so well.
It's actually incredible. When you think about our history of right-backs,
yeah.
I don't know what you think about this, Joe, that it's incredible because, I mean, I'd say Furlong's maybe the best player against Blackburn. We're in, what a weird place we're in where we've got two good ones.
It was... it's a fair point. He was one that really caught the eye for me. There was a few standout performances, which is particularly nice when that happens, when you're watching on and all of a sudden, rather than struggling to pick a man of the match because they've all played so poorly, you're actually struggling to pick a man of the match because there's a few serious candidates. And Furlong was one of them. He was absolutely rampant in the first half. I thought he got onto the end. There's a couple of balls that Johnston played to him, a couple of diagonals, and then I think it was Livermore played one as well. And the way he takes him down, he takes him in stride, and he kind of just... the way he angles his run at goal, and the way that he'll have no problem taking the fullback on at the other end of the pitch. And of course, he set up... I think it was in the move for the Livermore goal, I think, where he kind of pulled the ball back to Phillips, and Phillips hit the crossbar, and he come to Livermore eventually. Yeah. But Furlong played such a big part in that first half particularly. He seems to have a defensiveness as well, which is something Billich has mentioned before. He's not. He swapped Ferguson and Furlong over at Derby at half time a few weeks ago when they were both playing together. But I think it going forward is his strength.
It's early days with Furlong, but I think a few of us might have had this question. You know, if he's good enough for the Albion, why QPR? I'm prepared to sign him for one and a half million quid. But you look at him. It's early days to criticise or to get too excited, but he's been tested on a few levels and he's actually good at all of them. His delivery, I've seen enough of him to now know he can deliver a ball. He hasn't done it right every time by accident. He looks a really class act to me. If I had to guess, I mean, I've got overexcited about Ferguson already, but if I had to guess, he's going to take some shifting from right back. You know, when Gibbs is back. Ferguson to have his job cut out for him to keep him out of the team. He looks a really good player to me.
Yeah, what a wonderful position that is to be in.
I know.
Consider the right back, the dearth of right backs we've had.
Yeah, we're probably going to come on to him when we name this team in a bit. All right, so let's race through these. This next one's probably the most difficult. And it's going to you, Joe Chapman. Krivinovic or Pereira?
Well, that is a tough one because I've got a bit of a soft spot for Krivinovic. The way he started playing at the beginning of the season, he caught the eye of not just Albion fans, but he caught the eye of neutrals as well and opposing fans. And it's a trick one, really, because you could argue that he flat to deceive a little bit in as much as that he's not really kind of backed it up with goals or anything. But Pereira's been given a chance in the last game and has done exactly that. He's provided two assists in the space of 20 minutes. Yeah. And he looked the real deal beyond that as well. He could have had a couple of goals himself. And the way he kind of carries the ball, he never looks like he's in that much of a rush, which is amazing when you consider that he's never played in this country before, never mind the Championship.
Yeah.
And he just seems to have taken... It's very, very early days, you know. What do you do when you're sending down to, you know, the new den in December or wherever, you know? But
I think that's right, actually. I mean, because it wasn't just that. It's Reading where he came on and changed it down to a large extent. And it seems like he's got more of a cutting edge. But I think that's the argument for Krivinovic, I think, is that he's exactly what you just said, that I think Krivinovic will have a... won't drift out of games, if you know what I mean. I think there's a problem that you've identified, which is that Pereira seems to have a cutting edge and Krivinovic hasn't been able to show yet. But I get the feeling that Krivinovic will turn up every week. You know, if you don't, you'll put a shift in, even if you don't kind of play a part. And what do you think, Kieran?
I think we're lucky, really, to have two players of that ilk. But I think that the players for different situations in games. Krivinovic he kind of orchestrates everything, doesn't he, in the final third when he's playing. He's good for controlling games, whereas if we need an impact, say we're struggling with 20 minutes to go, we need a goal, then Pereira comes on. So I think as a starting player, you'd go with Krivinovic because you'd want to control a game from the off. But, you know, it's a good position to be in, definitely.
And the irony to this question is just shown, they play nicely together. I just think Pereira looks like a number 10 to me. Well, again, nice problem to have. So the final one, this comes to you, Kieran. Zahor or Austin?
Oh. See, it's funny because Austin seems to, you know, he had a good debut in the Cup, but he seems to drift out of games. He seems to be a bit isolated, doesn't he? Whereas Zahor, as much as I don't think he's as good a player as Austin, he does seem to have more of an impact bullying defenders when we're relying on wingers to get forward.
Yeah.
You'd go with Austin every time, but I think Zahor's making a good case, especially in the box. I know he's not scoring from open plays, penalties, but he complements our midfield, which is our key strength, isn't it, really, this season?
It's probably a horses for courses thing with those two, isn't it?
Yeah.
If a team's going to come to the Albion and just defend, that's probably an Austin game. If you're playing away, you need some degree of holding up or also to knit the team together, maybe Zahor. Have you got a strong feeling on this, Joe?
I was impressed with Zahor on Saturday. I actually gave Zahor a higher rating than Austin. Austin's gone from scoring within the first 5 minutes of his Albion career to all of a sudden looking like he desperately needs another. And until that comes, it's just a case of working really, really hard at it, I think, and not getting too downbeat. He's been working hard in the gym by all accounts in the international break, but he kind of swiped at a couple against Blackburn, and there was one or two he just think, God, if that had just, you know, kind of gone in off his backside or something. And that's, you know, it's only after a handful of games. But obviously, when he's starting games and with the reputation he's got at this level, you want him to be on the score sheet, don't you? You want him to be on the score sheet and hitting the ground running the way Dwight Gayle was last season.
Although, so, do any of us have any doubt he'll score goals?
We bloody need him to, don't we? if he's going to score 20 goals, and that's going to... Rather, if he doesn't score those 20 goals that we're kind of hoping for him, that he wants to score himself as well, then all of a sudden you've got to start kind of restructuring the season and how you approach games. But it's very, very early days. It's a boring answer, but I wonder whether he just needs a stretch of games. He's only started a couple, I think, maybe so far. Whether it's a case of getting him in the starting 11 and playing, you know, the majority of 90 minutes week in, week out. Would he start at Fulham? based on what Soho's done the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, the horses for courses argument would say that he wouldn't. I think I would just go full square behind Austin. I think he will score goals. And I think, I don't know whether this is Billy's thought or no, but that it would be a good time to show faith in him. I don't know about, because I think you could definitely make a case for the reason I've just said, that Zahor would be the better player there. You know, he would, you know, as I said, hold the ball up and knit the team together well. And we're going to have less than 50% possession away at Fulham. I think there's no question about that.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one, that, because I think you can make an excellent case to say he should show faith in Austin. Austin's our talisman, and we should make it as such. But I don't know. Go on, I've thought about this. I could skip it on and ask Kieran. Kieran, who would you start at Fulham?
I'd probably go with Zahor this week. And I think it's a shame, because I think Austin's only going to get sharper as the season goes on, and he does need a run of games. But while we're picking up results, I think we need to pick the team that's most capable of winning a game. And I think Zahor's the man that will do a better job, especially holding up, because, you know, they're a high-pressing side, aren't they, for them? They're going to have a lot of possession. When we get the ball, it's going to be about keeping possession and building from there. Right? I think Zahor's the man to do that, especially, again, for this weekend anyway, going into the rest of the season. I think Austin should be starting, but like you said, it's horses for courses, isn't it?
Yeah, although on the basis that it is. I think that makes sense. I think it's just that question of whether or not he wants to make Austin our talisman, you know, like our Gale. But we'll see how that pans out. So anyway, as bad as I've got a feeling this is going to be the messiest section we've ever done, because we've all got different formations by the same thing.
Yeah.
We're going to talk now about the players that we've loved to watch, the Albion Fantasy 11. And this is talking about, yeah, the people you've enjoyed watching, but also, yeah, the strong personalities, the ones that have kind of become emblematic of the Albion, and the ones that have kind of inspired the most passion amongst fans around them. Just bounce straight into it. It's not a natural part of it's necessarily always that a goalkeeper would inspire fans and so on. But let's go into it. So all three of you name your starting goalkeeper in the Albion Fantasy 11, Fantasy Dressing Room from 2000. Kieran, who you got?
I've gone with Foster. It was one of two, wasn't it? But Foster gets a nod ahead of Russell Holt.
Well, I'll go. I've got Russell Holt, brackets Ben Foster. So, Dad, you've got the casting vote on this one, Joe.
Yeah, I've gone Foster as well. I think that the kind of consensus is he's it was more than that, actually. I thought that, you know, Foster was a real proper character when he was at the Hawthorns. I thought he was more than just someone that was a fantastic goalkeeper. He was actually just, he's someone that interacted with fans. And I think up until the minute he did an absolute U-turn on his future, I think he was just adored for that reason as much as his performances, to be honest. I've also jotted down Dean Carley, only kind of sentimentally, really, because I kind of, bearing in mind the period in his career when he arrived at us and what he did to help us get back up in under Tony Mowbray, worth a mention.
You raised some interest, but so I've been in crowds before where Dean Carley sworn at us, so I remember that. So Foster makes controversially our 11, but didn't the way that Foster leave a bitter taste in your mouth? I mean, we also think about Foster. We said it on this podcast. He ain't going to leave. He's a Midlands boy. You don't want to leave the Midlands. Blah 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 blah. Yeah. And then first opportunity to leave, he leaves. Does that not leave a bitter taste in either of your mouths?
I think a lot of that was to do with behind the scenes at the club, wasn't it? More than him himself wanting to leave. I think the more that comes out since he's left, I think you can forgive him. He still obviously checks to see how West Brom are doing as well. You can see on Twitter he's tweeting about Albion every other week. So, and of course, taking the mick out of Wolves when they won in the semi-final. You know, he's still an Albion fan. So
he's also, still, you know, I reckon in 50 years' time, when this podcast is still going, you know, it's got its eighth listener, Ben Foster will still be the best goalkeeper who's ever played for Albion. So I mean, there's a nice synergy to play, so I'm happy to be overruled for that. So what? I've just changed to a back three. Kieran, what have you got?
See, I've got a back four, but now, when I heard you say in the dressing room, this player might not get in. So I'm changing my mind again.
So who have you got? What position and who is it?
Well, this is right back. I've gone for Eagle Ballis.
Basically
just for that penalty at Bradford. You know, the modern football fan seems to be obsessed with limbs at the minute on Twitter, and I've never seen limbs like it. That not just in the away end, but there was West Brom fans all over the stadium, and it was. I mean, you'll struggle to beat that feeling again, I think. So for that reason alone, I mean, it doesn't. Nave said in the dressing room, and he couldn't speak English. It doesn't really sit up, but
it's more than that. I mean, this isn't a really clearly defined premise, but I think Ballets. So I thought about Ballets. It's just that I opted for someone else in the end, because I do think it encapsulates the kind of. It still encapsulates the kind of premise of this, which is that fans loved him.
Yeah.
The fact that he didn't speak, he came at a time when we didn't have that many foreign players, we didn't have that many foreign flair players.
Yeah.
Fans loved him. They loved it, especially in the Megson team. He kind of stood out. So he did fit into this style. However, I thought in terms of right back, there was him. I thought about Stephen Reid, who I thought. Yeah, was a leader of the dressing room. He's obviously kind of come back since, and you know, a really, really kind of strong personality. But I opted against a right back, as did you, by the sounds of it, Joe. I went for a back three, which I'll bounce into. So the reason why I dropped the right back is I decided I wanted to get Paul Sharner in there. I thought the nature of this team dictated that he was the right sort of person to have in there. And I coupled Paul Sharner with Darren Moore and Gareth McCauley, who might go down.
Who's
in the top three Albion players ever. Joe, what's your back three?
Well, yeah, I've got Gareth McCauley as well. That was an absolute given. I've just thought that everything about McCauley, really, when he signed, and I'll never forget the kind of the reaction or lack of reaction when he signed was just a case of, you know, why are we signing this bloke from Ipswich?
It's so underwhelming.
Never played in the Premier League before. He's 31. So despite being a centre-back, he's probably past his best. And he defied everybody, every single person at the Hawthorns. I think not a single person would have predicted that he'd still been there 8 years later, 7 years later, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Having scored however many Premier League goals and helping us to top half finishes and everything. So I've included McCauley because that's a given. I've also included Jonas Olsson because Jonas Olsson was just... I mean, how could you not?
Oh, well, again.
You've answered that in very, very bluntly. But honestly speaking, I just thought, again, for the money he signed for, the lack of Premier League experience he brought to the table before he arrived, his reputation, bar his final ever game at Tottenham, which was horrific, by the time he'd left, the fact that he was able to come back, the fact that Albion actually arranged for him to come back and say his goodbyes, bearing in mind he left halfway through the season, I think tells you everything you need to know about how much he was loved. And of course, McCauley and Olsen together were terrific and got on like a house on fire. So I've included those two, and I've also gone with another kind of left side centre back, come left back, and that's Neil Clement.
Yeah.
So you haven't named Darren Moore in your top Albion line of what a snub.
I know.
It was gonna be awkward, wasn't it?
Well, I put brackets down to Olsen. So actually, this is an interesting thing, actually. So you're right. And clearly, Joe, I'm about to be controversial because I'm the first on this podcast. So, yes, Olsen was a terrific guy and a great servant and someone who really kind of put it into the Albion. But wouldn't we couple Olsen along with Paul Robinson as someone who would have left the Albion in a heartbeat had the opportunity of arisen? Joe Chapman.
I'm not so sure, actually.
No.
I'm really not so sure. Where would he have gone?
I mean, he lived in London. He was constantly linked with moves to London teams.
There was Tottenham for a while, wasn't there?
Yeah.
When he was particularly in his prime. West Ham. I just don't think he was pushing hard enough for a move if he wanted it. Whereas Robbo tried and failed. His tail between his legs, and then left anyway.
So we're gonna argue about the defence. So Kieran, do you want to complete your defence? Who are your two centre halves and your left back?
Well, I've gone with Darren Moore, Jonas Olsen, and then Neil Clement again at left back.
You haven't named
McCauley was very close, but I just think you've got one centre back in Moore that basically turned us into a Premier League team. You know, he was a rock, wasn't he, in that promotion season? Then, of course, you got that ridiculous celebration when he scored against Palace. Then what he did after?
Joined a Villa fan and left an Albion fan.
Yeah. Then you got Olsen that basically did the next stage of the job. He was there for a decade, and I'm pretty sure, you know, he stayed with the club when they got relegated. If he really wanted to force a move, he could have. I'm not sure he'd have just, you know, he was involved in every aspect of the club, wasn't he? He wasn't, you know, he was always at functions and stuff with fans. So, and then obviously Neil Clement, just because didn't he miss two league games in two seasons when we lost in the playoffs to Bolton, and then when we got promoted the following season, and he was, you know, he was in the team of the year both years. He was in the PFA team of the year. So I don't see how anyone can beat him at left back, especially when he spent a decade at the club.
Yeah, it sounds like we're going to play. It sounds like we're going to be forced into a back three here. So I think, I think, does Clement need to compete in anyway? So, so this is difficult because we've all known two people, which makes things rather difficult, doesn't it? I'm going to throw some things out there, and you can fire me down. Darren Moore should be in this team, shouldn't he?
Okay.
Surely to goodness, Darren Moore makes this team.
I can't argue with it. If you're going to overrule me, you two, there are worse names out there to be overruled by. Do you know what I mean?
He's a living legend, isn't he? I'm not sure. Surely he starts.
That really honestly only means that you've only got room for one of them before your option.
Yeah.
So because we've got three, what, on the basis that you would say Clement comes in before either of those two?
Well, you need a left-sided player then. I mean, tactically.
So we're going to dress. All right. Neil Clement goes left-sided centre-half. Who's the other one then, gents? You can argue amongst yourselves.
Do you know what, the more you talk about it, I think McCauley does deserve a slot, doesn't he, to be fair? Just because of how much of an underdog he was.
Massive fan favourite, isn't he?
Yeah. G-Mac, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he might have to get the nod.
So we've got our back. So we're going wing-backs now. Which he's throwing Kieran's like something for the curveball on the basis that he didn't have wing backs. Tell us who your wing backs are.
My wing backs are the least defensive pair you've ever come across in terms of actual defending. That's just not a thing for these two. I've got Jason Kumas on the right hand side.
Yeah.
The idea of him tracking back and covering McCauley at this point is
but it's McCauley. You don't need cover.
I know, but I can't see McCauley getting across too often to right back. But anyway, going to have rampaging Jason Kumas down the right hand side, and on the other side, I've got Zoltan Gera.
Oh, well, this is interesting. I've got a feeling that. I've got Kumas on the right as well, but I've got in brackets Zoltan Gera, so he gets nodded, he gets kicked out by Kumas, which we can discuss in a moment. On the left, I've only got one choice. It's Chris Brunt, and I'm about to pass to Kieran, who obviously is exactly the same.
Well, I could have had nine in midfield, to be fair, but I did whittle it down to four. But I've gone the same. I've got Kumas on the right and obviously Chris Brunt on the left. First name on the team sheet.
Is Chris Brunt not in your team, Joe Chapman?
Oh, no, but...
That's scandalous.
I think if this was based on my team, because I was led to believe that the idea was that we'd be picking based on the consensus of the fan base.
Yeah.
And I think 12, 13 years on, I personally... still can't quite get my head around it, but he is still dividing opinion massively on a grand scale.
This is a really good conversation to have, actually.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're having it. Isn't that because he's such a part of the furniture? You know, isn't it almost, I've always thought it's almost kind of faint praise to Chris Brunt that he gets kind of criticised, almost because you criticise him like you would say of your brother. I can say that about him, but you. That's what's like. Yeah, you wouldn't have anyone else flag off Chris, would you? Albion fans do it, but we love him, don't we? So, really, you love him. We know this.
I'm not sure the fans were divided on him. You know, seven, eight years ago when he was playing with.
Oh God, no.
So, I think what it is now is he's obviously past his best, and it's not his fault. The club have relied on him for too long, and the fans are using him as a scapegoat when everything goes wrong. In my opinion. He's played in how many different positions? He plays centre mid, left back. I just think he's integral to this club actually since the turn of the millennium. He's the face of the club, isn't he? I don't see how he can't be in the team.
He's also the antithesis of that. Funny enough, Paul Robinson is a bracket in mind, so almost he's the opponent of Chris Wood.
Yeah,
and actually he's the antithesis of that in his Albion career for me in that. I actually believe Chris Brunt probably has had opportunities to leave and hasn't taken them. It strikes me as of my 11, because I'm not in Joe's category. There were times, you know, that when he's banging those penalties in the Premier League and blah blah blah, where you know he'd become that sort of fan's favourite and so on. But I'm not where Joe is where Kieran is on this necessarily. However, when I look back at my team, and I think which one of those cares the most about the Albion, I actually think I put Brunt ahead of Moore in that regard. He's absolutely willfully taken on that role as the kind of father of the team. Yeah. And yeah, I'm gonna go Kieran. I think he has to be in, even ahead of Kumas. He has to be in there. Unless you can shout us down, Joe, we've got our left wing back in place.
Again, I've got no issues having Chris Brunt in that team. You'll be delighted to hear.
Yeah, he's got to go. He's captain as well, by the way. He's captain.
I tell you, I saw him in pre-season, just on Brunt. I saw him in pre-season in midfield with Tulloch, Harper and Lecco. And you want to see him like absolutely rollicking them if they were chasing things. And he's properly he's getting close to like Gareth Barry level. Kind of, you know.
His movement.
His influence and his age and his everything. Just the way he runs games at that level. And he's like a proper senior pro now.
He really heartens. So again, it's a different sort of heartstring that he pulls at. But I'm glad that Brunt's there, because for a long while I was at Albie, despite everything, but overpaid, but had good people at the team. You know, and that's for a long time. Megson signed good people. And that kind of for a long time seen, and McCauley, I'd count in that. Foster, I'd count in that. Brunt is the archetype. He's made millions and millions and millions out of football, but I don't think it's changed him. He's a good bloke. And I think that's something that we should really celebrate. Really,
it's not just the fact that he's a good bloke. He's actually a really good footballer as well. I mean, not as much now, but I mean, how many managers has he played under and have all found a way of starting him? I think he's a very underrated player, actually, as well. I think it goes under the radar.
That's key, that managerial point, because
yeah.
On the flip side, Burke has had four managers, and none of them have managed to get him into the team. So
yeah.
That tells you really where Brunt is, that versatility and the experience and the quality he's got, that every single manager that we've had, Pepe Mel, Alan Irvine, everyone wanted to include it.
Completely different styles.
We're not going to name Oliver Burke in your team. Feels weird.
We talked about him last week.
So let's just to complete the loop. Joe and I both have Kumas as a right wing, which I'm aware is.
Are
you going to argue with that?
No, I've picked him in my four-man midfield as well, so I'm happy for him to go in. He was actually probably the most naturally gifted footballer I've seen at West Brom. He was the way he used to cut inside from the wing and just caress it into the far post. He seemed to score every game with it, so. I've never seen a player that gets the whole crowd on the feet as soon as he picks up the ball. It was just majestic, really. Brilliant.
Yeah, I think it'd be obscure. Now, the more I think about it, the more I think it would be obscure, considering the confines of this was that it was a 21st century player. Yeah. I actually don't think there's another player like that in the 20th century, that 21st century, that has united Albion fans without having to discuss it. The first ever Albion game I reviewed was Albion away at Forest, where Kumas scored two. I've still never seen anything like that. The player that appeared to be playing a different game to everyone else on the pitch, that was so outrageously more talented than everyone else around him. I don't know, but I get the impression even the Nottingham Forest fans were enjoying seeing themselves absolutely ripped apart. So he needs to be in there. Yeah. More importantly, talking about things that a modern Albion fan celebrates, it's time for Play Your West Bromwich Albion Cards Right. Lots of buzz about this now. Are you ready, gentlemen?
I've only tuned in for this, so yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, you're morons, but this is a game like what Play Your Albion Cards Right, where I say a number and Joe and Kieran have to guess whether or not the next one is highest. So I'm going to start, as I will every single week, with Gary Megson. Gary Megson played for 10 football clubs, according to Wikipedia. All these stats are Wikipedia and wrong, but Wikipedia. So, when Nathan Ferguson joined the Albion, was he older or younger than 10? Kieran Duden.
Oh, I'm going to say younger.
Joe Chapman.
This is really obscure. I'm going to say older.
This Joe got everyone right last week, and you're the first one wrong, Joe. No, according to Wikipedia or something along those lines, was 8 when he joined the Albion.
Yeah.
So Nathan Ferguson is, we're now at 8. Nathan Ferguson was 8 when he joined the Albion. Joe Chapman, the next one, we're on 8. Is Harvey Barnes' goals for Albion last season higher or lower than 8?
Oh,
I think he was just shy of double figures. I think he got 9. I'm going to go higher.
Kieran?
I think he got... Yeah, I'm going to go higher as well.
How very Joe that Harvey Barnes scored 9. So you're absolutely correct. So we're on 9. The next one is Lars Sigurdsson's squad number. Kieran is quite young to remember Lars Sigurdsson. Is it higher or lower than 9?
Oh, wasn't he? I'm going to say lower.
You going to say lower, Joe?
I'm going to say higher. Was he like 20-something?
Well, I like these moments when the fact that I'm a lot older than you is a benefit for me. You're right, Joe.
Of course he is.
His squad number was 17.
17. Oh, no, I think I'm thinking of Thomas Gardsell. Was he 24?
Thomas Gardsell, I'm almost certain, was 24. Back in the day when I could be bothered to remember such things. How many goals did Jeff Forcefield score for the Albion? Higher or lower than
17?
Joe Chapman.
Well, that is the question. He was there for, let me think. He played with Lee Hughes, he played with Kevin Campbell, played with Carnu. I think he's lower.
Lower than 17, you're saying?
I think.
Kieran Duda?
Lower than 17? Yeah, I think it is as well. I think he got like just over 10, didn't it? 13, 14.
Well, you're both correct to say lower. He scored 15 West Bromwich Albion goals according to the statistics I managed to find. So, can't even understand how I've written, so we're on 15 now.
Yeah.
Are there more or less, are there more or less Albion players that have played for the Albion under the age of 18 that doesn't include 18 according to the statistics that I could find? More or less than 15? Kieran Doody.
That what? Under the age of 18 when they played for West Brom?
So Albion players age 17 or below, according to the statistics. I'm going to say in the history of the Albion, it's probably wrong. But according to the statistics I could find, more or less than 15.
See, going back to like 1901 and stuff, I'm guessing there's a few. We'll go lower. Let's say lower.
Lower than 15. Joe Chapman, higher or lower than 15?
I'm going to have to go higher, because if you spent all week trying to work this question out, forget the rest this question.
That's why I'm a bit wary of it, really, because it's probably not right.
I'm going to go higher anyway.
You're going higher, okay. Well, Kieran, you're correct. There's a problem with this game, because I've been marking who's going higher. I don't know who's going to win at the end. But you're right, there's 12. So the last one was on 12. That's the number of Albion players that are probably wrong, but played under the age of 18. Did Andy Johnson play more or fewer games for Wales than 12? Joe Chapman.
Thank you. I'm going to say more.
Yeah,
I'm going to say more. What are you saying, Kieran?
It's got to be more. He's playing for over 10 years, wasn't it? It's got to be more than 12, yeah.
Less than you think. 15. So you're right. You're 15. Right. It was more. I have no idea who won that game, other than to say that Joe was better last week.
I think Dooney got a couple more right than me this week.
I'll take that.
Ding, 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 ding. Anyway, so that's it. More of that next time we actually manage to record a podcast. We're going to bounce back now into the central midfielders. And how incredible is the list of potential central midfielders, given the kind of scope of this list? So I'm going to start. I'll name my three, and I've got one that I'm absolutely not being argued out of. So my three are Derek McInnes, who is my captain, not Chris Wood. Andy Johnson, who's my one who's not coming out of the team, and Yusuf Malumbu. Kieran, who you got?
Well, I'm going to quickly mix it up because I had a 4-4-2, but I'm going to go Gera. I've cheated the system a little bit because he's more of a 90s player, but he didn't leave till 2001. So I'm going to say Richard Sneaks.
Yeah.
And I'll chuck Malumbu in as well in that three, if I'm going to pick.
I haven't actually picked. I've picked a quite modern group of players. I say modern. It was probably halfway, actually. I've picked Malumbu as well, so we can.
So Malumbu's in.
Of course.
Rely on Malumbu. And then I've gone for a couple of players who just made up the midfield of my favourite season as an Albion fan, and they are Super Jonathan Greening and Super Robbie Corran.
Oh.
Crikey. Well, Greening was on the periphery of mine, but let me scold you two a little bit. Firstly, Andy Johnson was the first guest on Woodland Corner.
Yeah.
You've forgotten rather too.
With his chickens.
In the confines of this game, the spirit of the club, players that we love to watch, players that lived and breathed the club, that you know, put their head in where it mattered, that were the counterbalance, the counterweight of the fans on the pitch. Surely to goodness, Andy Johnson should be the same, isn't he? Someone tell me why not?
Because Richard Sneak should be in it. That's why.
Have you noticed how Richard Sneak's Jonathan Green and Robert Carr and Annie Johnson have all got gorgeous hair?
Yeah. I think that does help, to be fair.
Is that hair envy that we've all got here?
I like the idea of Richard Sneak. So I'm going to say why I love, but I don't. So he counts. He was there in 2000. However, Sneakers wasn't really an Albion fan's favourite in when it kind of was. You know, his moment was pre-2000. He, again, a bit like Ballas, but 10 times as much. We just never had really seen a player of that nature. We were terrible at the time. He came from Bolton when you two were about three. and kind of was just kind of transformational. And then Gary Metcalfe turned up and noticed he didn't train. But I don't know. That's interesting. I actually prefer your picks to Joe's, who I think wasn't necessarily paying attention. Are you really saying that Robert Corran should be in this team before Andy Johnson? Did you get the brief?
I got the brief. I actually think if you put maybe I'm pandering to the younger generation of fans, but if you put a poll out on Twitter, I think you'd get Robert Corran getting more votes.
We're going to have to poll this after.
Then Andy Johnson? I'm not sure he would, you know. Not over Andy Johnson.
I'm just saying, I think Robert Corran would make a lot of people's team.
Well, this is going to be difficult. So we haven't got any other matching ones then? We all have Malumbu, easy. So no one else had McInnes? That's incredible. Let me tell you some stories about Derek McInnes. He took a pay cut to come to the Albion.
Yeah.
He was transformational from a team that was terrible to a team of winners who cared, who knocked other more costly teams out of the way just by virtue of caring about winning more than they did. He set a philosophy in the Albion that served us well for decades after. And he should be the captain of this team, not only in the team, but the captain of this team, surely.
I've got to say, I bracketed McInnes particularly because that was the one where I just thought, at the very, very least, he needs to be mentioned and argued because of what he did during his time at the club. So
I'd bracket Gearer as well. Do you know what? I mean, I don't know whether or not we could do this kind of ganging up. Are we kicking out Robert Corran?
I think so, yeah.
And definitely. Joe, neither of you had Richard Sneakers in brackets, so we can kick him out. However, Gearer is part of the conversation. Gearer was part of who I was thinking about, and I had two eras at the Albion.
Yeah.
Definitely is relevant to the premise of this. You know, a player that Albion fans came to love, cult hero. I'm feeling that because I don't know how we're going to do this.
But he's not a midfielder. He's a wide player. I named him on my wingers before you vetoed Brunton. I named him on the left wing because I thought, well, I don't understand how you can have him in a centre midfield. He never plays centre midfield for Albion.
This is going to be difficult, lads. How are we going to get there then?
Go on, unless you play Gear in the hole.
Now you're one central midfielder that has to play.
I've got a few here that I've written down. So the midfielders I've written down that I considered, and this list includes Sharna, also included Darren Fletcher and Graham Dorans. And James Morrison, obviously.
I was going to say, we haven't even mentioned Morrison yet.
No, but I think Morrison warrants mention, but I think it'd be interesting that none of us have picked him. I don't know that necessarily he was ever a cult hero. He's a player with that everyone lied and had longevity to it. But yeah, in the same way, the thing we're describing about, you know, that thing you were saying about Christians, you know, Morrison and the younger players, and I've never necessarily got the sense that Morrison was that player.
Yeah.
You know, it's more of a kind of a someone who kind of looked after himself. I don't know how we're going to name this team now, you know. I think Gira should go behind the front two, because I think we've all named him, haven't we? You named him, Gira.
Yeah. Gira,
right,
goes. Gira's in.
We've got one more slot left. So let's each make our case. So I'm going to say, do you know what? I'm going to go. No, I'm saying it. I'm saying Andy Johnson. What are you saying, Joe?
Well, if you're already going to kick out Robbie Carr, which I think is incredibly harsh, I'm going to insist that Jonathan Greening at least gets a look in. I thought Greening was Mowbray's like kind of captain, and the way he was able to transform himself from a winger that just kept cutting inside and cutting back out again constantly, he loved to step over, didn't he?
Yeah.
The man who would do that in the kind of the Brian Robson era, and then became just this absolute wizard in midfield who would like hit 60-yard diagonal balls, and midfielders couldn't get near him in the Championship. And then he managed to kind of perform as well to a decent level in the Premier League as well. And then very much, unfortunately, very much like Robbo, kind of got his move back. And again, like Foster, could you really complain too much when a Premier League team comes calling for you? It's a tough one, isn't it?
I'll give him a pass on that. I don't think his departure was necessarily. I think it was good for everyone and done in the kind of right spirit. All right, so Kieran, you have a choice. You can select Jonathan Greening or Andy Johnson, or you can introduce a new name. What are you saying?
Oh, I'll stick with the Battle of the Barnets for Greening and Johnson. I think Greening might get the nod ahead of Johnson, you know.
My God. Okay. Go on, while I type that out, you justify why Jonathan Greening should be ahead of Andy.
Just as Joe said, he kept reinventing his game to fit around the club.
I think that's fair. Let's let Jonathan Greening in there. He's the only captain who's lifted out anything of note in all the time we've been there, and there's lots and lots of reasons. You know, he's much loved behind the scenes, so let's keep him in. So that leaves us with two strikers. I've only got three names on my list. But anyway, I'm talking to you guys first. Can someone else name their strikers?
Okay, I'm going to name the first one, because the second one, now I know what we're actually picking for, he doesn't get in. But Kevin Phillips is the first one, 100%.
Well, Kevin Phillips is in my team as well. Joe, is he in yours?
Kevin Phillips is in my team. Yep, we're all good there.
Kevin Phillips, who makes it, despite the fact that we've got a long, long history of being screwed over by signing players from Villa, you know, the likes of Luke Moore and so on, but just
and Ricardo Schumacher.
Yeah, oh God,
it turned out to be. I basically
Nicky Shorey.
Yeah, but he confounded that. Okay, well that was easier. Yeah. I've only got two other names, but they're pretty easy. The one is Peter Odemwingu, who we loved, and I think history started to serve better. However, very, very easily, my second centre-forward and the Albion post-2000 team is Bob Taylor. But I'm going to start to type now, unless anyone else has got some reason to stop me. Kieran, Joe, you've named Bob Taylor, surely?
I've named Bob Taylor on my big list. I've got an honourable mention, and I've got no intention of making a case for him, but I just wanted to mention him anyway. As a kind of fan favourite, was Marc-Antoine Fortuné. About 2 years, he was absolutely adored by what he was just the epitome of a striker who didn't score goals, but the job he did for a couple of years, and the way, again, you know, the way he would play anywhere he was asked and that kind of thing, I thought he was worth mentioning anyway. Also, beyond that, the most controversial name I'm going to chuck at you this is probably the, apart from Chris Brunt, the most recent player to play for Albion, I think, looking at the team. That's Dwight Gale.
You're not, are you, Joe? You're not suggesting that Dwight Gale goes in a team that Bob Taylor's not in it. You're not saying that, are you? Tell me not saying that.
I'm talking about players who were absolutely adored. I've never known a lone player. I've never known a lone player to kind of be loved by the Albion fans if he's one of their own, like Dwight Gayle?
Well, I've just been sick of my throat a little. Kieran, what is your argument for not having Bob Taylor in the
team? I can't think of one at the minute. Basically,
that's probably why.
My first choice was actually Adam Wenger at first, just because of how loved he was. Bob Taylor, yeah, I think Bob Taylor gets a nod for me.
Do you know what?
It's so obvious that he's going in. Yeah, but I feel like I want to give you a harder time about this. But go on, then. As soon as he's relented, yeah, and you've let one of the old boys stay in. Yeah, so Bob Taylor, who remains a firm friend of the club and came in at a time where we were really low. We recently lost John Goodman as a striker. I remember having the conversation with my dad, I think, at the time, saying, you know, we've definitely replaced him. My dad laughing at me, and I remind him of this so many times. Definitely deserves to be in there. We've got both of our scorers now against Crystal Palace when Albion were promoted, and both examples of players who came to the Albion with no affiliation to the club and left it as, you know, they love us as much as we love them. So I'm glad that we won that through. Dwight Gayle, but he consigned to the bench next to Peter Odemwingie and Andy Johnson. So let's go through it then, because we might be here forever. So our team that we've managed to agree on is Ben Foster in goal, a back three of Gareth McCauley, Darren Moore, Neil Clements. We've got some questionable wing-backs, but we managed to leave them in. Chris Brunt, who I think we've probably agreed is captain.
Yeah.
Or Greening. Jason Kumas, Yusuf Malumbo and Jonathan Greening holding the midfield, allowing Gira to get forward to support Kevin Phillips and Bob Taylor. That's not a bad little lineup there.
I don't think there are going to be any complaints with that. I think Derek McInnes at the Toddry is probably kind of listening, turning purple, but other than that.
Yeah, it was particularly difficult at central midfield. We've had some. I mean, like I said, the fact that Andy Johnson didn't get. Andy Hill from the play. The fact that James Morrison didn't get considered, you know, his longevity at the Albion is almost unheard of in modern times. You know, just spoke volumes about the kind of nature of the player that we've had there. I really loved Sean Greegan, but to argue for him, you know, he kind of fit that. We've had so many players in that position, very fortunate in that regard. But anyway, we have that team. We can stick it out on social media and let people debate it. But in the meantime, you've probably got jobs to go to, so let's move on. We appreciate your joining us this week on Woodmore Corner, and we will see you again soon.